And welcome into Poke the Bear, episode 226, presented by CLNS Media and sponsored by our good friends over at Prize Picks and Game Time Tickets, a new sponsor where if you want to go watch the Bruins in Game 7 against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you want to do that? If you want to make the bold move to make it down to Causeway Street and defy what is looking like a maybe not so optimistic series at this point, if you want to do it, and all the power to you, go check out Game Time Tickets. They'll get you covered. Ty, how you doing?
I've had better 72-hour stretches in terms of planning and frustration and overall sort of life. I think the biggest thing that kind of people don't understand about what we do for work is that, like, we don't outright root for teams necessarily, but things are better when teams win and when teams advance, because then you have a rough idea of what your life is going to be like. Like, yes. We should probably be on a flight to Florida right now. We probably shouldn't be sitting here talking about a game seven. So from a planning standpoint, I've had better weeks in terms of my life and what my schedule is going to be, I guess, for the next, you know, it's either the next 2 weeks or the next 5 months, right? And so that is a weird sort of balance to have there. And so better weeks, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, concur, Ty. I would dare say the vibes are off when you look at just how quickly things have gone downhill for this team. The last 5 days, really. We look ahead to, obviously, seven between the Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs, Saturday night. Let's take a quick look back at Game 6, because I think a lot of us shared a pretty similar sentiment, right, of like Game 5 on home ice, no show performance, not a lot of positives take out of it. Falls in line with what we've seen for years now from this team in terms of no shows on home ice in the playoffs for a Game 5. But it sure felt like, especially with this team and all the positivity that's been preached, all the, you know, hopping on the culture they have here and the accountability and the veterans, that it felt like going back up to Toronto in Game 6 was going to be the response that we all expected, right? Like, they play a simple game on the road. They've won in Toronto before. You got Swayman in net. Felt like that was how they were going to put this series away. And it'd be one thing if it was just a hard fought, I don't know, 4-3 loss or something like that, 3-2 loss, where, you know, these two teams are fighting back and forth, trying to extend this series. But were you shocked with just how little pushback you saw from the Bruins in that game there? Because I had no words after the first 20 minutes in terms of how poorly they built off of what little they could build off of in Game 5.
Yeah, I was shocked in Game 5, and I was mortified in Game 6. I don't understand how you can continue to talk the talk but not walk the walk. And at a certain point, and I wrote this column on 985sportshub.com today, just posted a little while ago, you can't believe in this team because you can't just keep falling for the lip service, right? Like, the fact that they lose Game 5 and the off day between Game 5 and 6, it's an optional practice, so whatever. And then Jim Montgomery says, oh, I'm pissed off. I'm not going to accept how he played in Game 5. And then they have a worse start in Game 6. So what's not getting through? Well, like, you got to tell me what is not getting through to these guys. And it's not just, oh, Toronto's blocking shots. Like, something is wrong with the way this team gets up for games, the way they approach games. And now here we are again talking about probably, in my opinion, the most unnecessary Game 7 of this era. Unnecessary. No Austin Matthews. William Nylander missed the first three games of the series. They're going to Joseph Woll, who had an 890 over his final 10 appearances of the season. And here we are talking about a Game 7. So I was mortified in Game 6 because it made no sense to have the effort that they had out of the gate after all the talk of, we got to look ourselves in the mirror, we're pissed off, to have an even worse start in Game 6. It's mortifying to me as someone who watches and covers this team.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of unnecessary, right? Like, I mean, hell, you can make the case that if we look back on this series a couple of days from now and the Bruins are packing the bags, and like how much of a missed opportunity that Game 5 was, because like Game 6, all right, you don't respond, you give them new life, and they feel good about Joseph Woll and that, though. Again, he's made some timely saves when needed, but like they're not pressuring the guy. And hell, it's a lot easier to get through those initial, you know, butterflies in your stomach and settle in when you're facing three total shots on goal in the first periods of two games, right? Like, what, as much as like the, again, Toronto's blocking a lot of shots, they're playing committed, solid defense without Matthews in there. Like, all the credit to them. And they deserve it for fighting back and actually showing urgency, which the Bruins have not done at all the last couple of games. But to go into Toronto just with that flat of a performance, it's true. Like, what isn't resonating here? What is it that we hear all these positive things about how they're confident? They've been here before. They've got veterans. They can lean on guys for experience. They're all committed to it. And then to really do nothing for that first period up in Toronto, like, is that coaching? Is it the players? Like, where exactly does the blame pie kind of fall right now in terms of, one, that game six, but just where the Bruins are right now? Because it is absurd that we're at this point right now against this Toronto team that has fought back. But, man, you look at game five going into that game. That team was on the ropes.
No, 100%. And when you take Austin Matthews out, the center matchup becomes much more equal footing than ever before. It's Max Domi and John Tavares against Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha. That should be a draw. That should not be what it's been for Toronto, which is Toronto's top six last two games has outshot the Bruins, went on the ice 34-20 and outscored them 3-0. And so for me, the blame pie for game six is 65% on the players, because it doesn't matter at this point what Jim Montgomery does with his fourth line left wing or his sixth defenseman. It's about the star player showing up. And for the second game in a row, Pavel Zacha looked like he's playing with one arm. You know, David Pastrnak did not look good. Brad Marchand did not look good. I think the only guy going in that top six on game six was Jake DeBrusk. I think that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
And that can be a good sign. It can also be a horrible sign. And it was a horrible sign in game six. And so I put the blame for game six on the players. Game five, the lineup, it is what it is, right? I don't love taking... I've said this before to you. I don't love that Matt Grzelcyk is either a healthy scratch or top pairing defenseman. I don't think that makes sense for your team. I don't think that makes sense for his confidence as a player. And I didn't like what it did to Mason Lowry, who I thought was one of their better players in game four. It really kind of bumped him down the depth chart. That said, that should not be the make or break for this team. Your 12th forward, your 11th forward, your 6D, your 50, that shouldn't be make or break for you. This time of year is defined by your star players. And so that's why I'm saying 65% on players. I'm going to say 35 on coaching, if only because the start was even worse than the game before. And we were told, and we've seen this, that Montgomery is a guy who motivates players. He gets them up. He doesn't beat them down. He lifts them up. Why are they not why is he not lifting them up for the starts of games? Like that, like this has been a problem now all season. We have said way too many times, it's not a great start. Yeah, they came alive late, but not a great start. Like, you can't have late starts in the playoffs. It's the playoffs. And so part of that for me comes back to coaching, I think. How about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think you just look at this team and the star players you have out there, and it's just something where the fact they haven't delivered in a couple of these series now in terms of these guys, and it kind of reminds me, this is looking back a couple of years. I know people look at 0-6 in clinching games since 2022, what have you. But when you look at this game six where your best players are like DeBrusk, Jesper Boqvist, and like rookie Mason Lowry, who's trying to make something happen there, getting some pucks on net. Does it remind you of like game seven of 2019 when your best player was Joakim Nordstrom, Marcus Johansson?
Yeah. It's like the same vibes.
Yeah, the same exact thing in terms of like you've got the star talent with this team. And yes, is this team as good as last year? No, we've established that. But hell, you still have some really damn good players that should be able to make an impact. We've seen it. And it's not just in like just the regular season. Like David Pastrnak has had dominant stretches of playoff play in the past. You think now at 27, coming off of his best year, he could elevate it this time. We saw earlier on in the first round last year against Florida, Charlie Coyle like took Sasha Barkov's lunch money in the first couple of games, has not had that happen in this series against guys like Max Domi and John Tavares. Again, John Tavares is still a good player, but not what he was a few years ago. That should be an even matchup, or at least closer than I think people expect in terms of where those guys are at their trajectory. Like, if you're not having your star players elevate right now, and even like look on defense with like Hampus Lindholm last year was injured. Yes. Had a really, really poor postseason. Have you seen a rebound yet? And like Charlie McAvoy, your guy you're relying on in all situations. What have you seen from him in terms of these last couple of games? He was puck watching in game five, not watching the net front for Matthew Nye's OT winner. He's on the ice for these two goals against in game six, has an unnecessary icing, leads to Nylander's first goal, was pretty much screening Swayman on the play as well. Like, these are the guys that have helped you exceed expectations in the regular season for all 82 games. Needs to carry over. We're not expecting this team to win the cup or be playing into the end of May, early June. But hell, when you look at who you're matched up against, this talent, this core should be enough to get you over that finish line against a team like Toronto without Matthews in the lineup.
Yeah, especially, and I think you just nailed it on the head. I want to add another sequence there. You know, we're talking about Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak. This is their era. Like, Brad Marchand, like, he's the captain, but make no mistake about it, we are in the Pastrnak-McAvoy era. These guys are at the age where they're in the prime of their careers. They've been through the battles. They were on that 2019 team. They both wear letters now. Like, they are the next wave, right? And they've both been, in my opinion, miserable in games five and six. And the other thing, like, you mentioned the McAvoy missteps. Pastrnak breaks over the attacking line, the attacking blue, slams on the brakes. I don't know what he's trying to do. Loses the puck, and then he takes a high-sticking penalty. What was the end goal in the first place of that play? Like, what are you doing right now, dude? And there just seems to be this lack of composure with these guys that need to set the tone for you, right? Like, you look at this series, the way it's been defined, you know, your game breakers have had games. You had the Marchand game in game three. You had a Swayman game in game one. Matthews in game two. I'll call last night the Nylander game. I'm okay with that. He was productive. He scored the goal that he needed to put the Bruins away. Where's David Pastrnak? Where's Charlie McAvoy? Like, these are your two highest paid players. They are the face of your franchise, both present and moving forward. And they have not shown up. They have not shown up in this series. And now they're down to their last gasp here. And if they don't show up, this is going to set narratives for years. Like, this is going to set the narrative. And speaking personally, I think that the Pastrnak narrative that he comes up small in big games, I think it's bullshit. But if he has another game like he's had in game five and six in game seven, what am I going to say to that? I can't defend that. I can't. Like, now it has life. Now it has legs. I think Pastrnak was your best player in game six and seven last year against Florida. And he was in line for the game winning goal. Both those games didn't happen that way. This year, this is bad. This is your first year post Krejci and Bergeron. And this happens. It's a bad look, man. It's just a bad look. So there's a lot of pressure on those guys to deliver in game seven.
Yeah, it's desperately some sort of takeover game. It's a little bit of a takeover from a guy like a little bit from Park. It'd be great if they had a 4-point night from Pastrnak, but even if you just had more of these guys that are so key to this team's success step up, you'll take that in game seven. Ty, before we dive more into Saturday's game, let's take a quick break. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during basketball and hockey's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and a huge selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And with the Celtics season in full swing, there's plenty of opportunities to participate in Prize Picks. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum for more than 30 points, Kristaps Porzingis for more than 2 blocks. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Again, use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And now let's get back to the show. Once again, shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. All right, Ty, looking ahead at Game 7, I guess I'll keep it pretty straightforward with this one. Is there anything you've seen from this team that gives you confidence going into Game 7? Let me tell you, I'm not feeling that great.
Is it the fact that we all think that they're done and they're cooked and that's why they're going to win? Like, there's just nothing from these last two games to give you any hope. And that may sound strong, but I just don't think that they've made life difficult enough for Joseph Wohl. I think he's way too comfortable in there. I think they've been stubborn with decisions they've made. This team is having a hard time stringing two passes together right now. Like they are struggling hard. And so, you know, maybe if you want to feel good about something, anything, it's that if their guys show up to play, I think you have more natural talent at key positions than they do. I think you're better in goal. I think your second best defenseman is better than their second best defenseman. If there's no Austin Matthews, the center matchup, as we noted earlier, should be equal. I think David Pastrnak is a better player than William Nylander. But these guys got to show up. Everything I just said means absolutely nothing if they don't show up again. And they haven't shown up now for two straight games. So therein lies the problem, you know, the chief problem among all. But if you can just string together a good 60 minutes, your talent should win out. Like, you have better talent than they do. And it may not be by much, but it's at key positions, I think. And that's the only reason you should feel confident. Connor, I wrote this today. My brain is broken. I think my brain is officially broken by this franchise because I don't want to sit here and tell you, oh, I feel good about a game seven. You know why? Because I felt good about a game seven in 2019. I felt good about a game seven in 2023. Like, I don't know what to expect because this team has given me no reason to expect anything besides calamity.
Yeah. It's like, I think I texted you and our esteemed colleague Evan yesterday. I was like, this series is now like my I am going to become the Joker arc in terms of, because like, again, I think we both, you know, we'll take this team to task and are critical when they do not deliver. And I think we've done that throughout the time we've covered the team, but we tend to, I think, focus in on the sky isn't falling. Let's be rational here. It's, you don't have to come in hot with a hot take earlier on in this year, but like, man, I sure feel kind of dumb right now in terms of sticking with that measured approach, because right now all of the naysaying, the thing about these guys are soft or they can't deliver or Pastrnak needs to do more and McAvoy isn't the number one guy that they expected. Those people sure feel right now. And I sure feel really dumb. And that kind of, let me tell you, that kind of sucks.
The 1,000 people I have muted are dancing in the streets and I can't say, hey, you're wrong. I can't say
exactly.
It, you know,
and
like,
so it's like, what will dissuade me from thinking that maybe those people are right all along? Because as much people look at like this game seven against Toronto, it's like, yeah, well, I guess maybe there's history working in your favor against a team like Toronto, the team that has not shaken this label of being perpetually underwhelming in the playoffs, of not having a killer instinct, of, you know, not showing up on hockey's highest stage. Doesn't it kind of sound like your team the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's a choke off right now.
Yeah.
It's who's going to piss their pants more. For the record, you never want to find yourself in a pants pissing contest. It's typically it's not a good use of your time. You got to change the pants. It's a whole thing. You don't want to
wear jeans too. Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. Ernie peed his pants. All right, Ernie. Like, well, you don't want that. That's fine for Billy Madison, but I don't need it.
No, of course.
What I would say is that, like, the other part of this too that is interesting, and I don't know how they're going to react to it or respond to it, rather, is like, there's a legacy on the line here.
Yeah.
Like, if you lose to Toronto, it's kind of like the Yankees losing to the Red Sox in 2004. Like, goodbye, 4-1 memes. Goodbye, not today, Justin memes. And the Bruins don't really care about that internally, I would imagine. But like the last constant that this team has had is that they will own the Maple Leafs. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where, they will use them as a launching pad to the next round or to get their game right, whatever the case may be. If that leaves and now you lose again in the first round for the third year in a row, you're just the Penguins without the Stanley Cups at this point. Like, and the Stanley Cups, as it turns out, Connor, are a critical part of being an NHL team. Like, you can deal with losing in the first round 3 years in a row if you had a dynasty, a back-to-back run there. They don't have that. And so there's a lot of legacy on the line here beyond the obvious of the Boston-Toronto rivalry. It's what we talked about earlier with Pastrnak and McAvoy. Like, this is their team now. You can't – if they lose this, they will be the first team, and not just the NHL.
Ever.
But North American pro sports to blow a 3-1 series lead in back-to-back seasons. That's insane that no team has done that in, like, first of all, baseball has been around for like 1,000 years. Like, Civil War veterans played in baseball. Never happened in baseball. Like, it's wild to think that this could potentially happen to this team.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of legacies, a lot of, I think, labels, a lot of narratives are on the line on Saturday for a lot of key guys that aren't going anywhere, right? These guys are going to be signed long-term in Boston, going to be around for quite a bit. If you don't deliver in this game seven, it's going to stick with you. It's stuck with the Maple Leafs throughout the last couple of decades, and it sure is tough to shake a narrative when you're, if you are the team that loses back-to-back 3-1 series leads, first team ever, as you said. It's not like, you know, listen, this is hockey. Shit happens. There's been plenty of very talented teams that battle out in the first round. If it's 3-1, ugh, not great. It's hockey. Back-to-back years, tough to shake that. That's not great.
And I'm always trying to be, I never want to perform an autopsy before the body's actually dead. If they blow this, don't you have to make some sort of massive change? Like, organizationally, like, and I don't even know if just like, oh, Montgomery's out. Like, I don't think it's that simple. Like, you have to have a legitimate upheaval of the culture that you've lauded for years, right? Because what good is a culture if it keeps ending the same way every year? That's great that you have a close community and a close locker room, like, but it's not gotten you where you need to be, you know, at the end of the day in the professional, in the world of professional sports, which is about winning championships, not about having the tightest locker room. Mm-hmm. And so there's legit questions here if they blow, like, it's wild. I think that for either team is playing for their legacy right now. And they're playing, like, I think both teams are playing for their legacy, playing for their future, playing for the direction of their franchise, depending on what happens here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's something we'll dive into a little bit more to close out this podcast. But before we do, take another quick break here from our good friends over at Game Time Tickets. The NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing in Boston. And if you need tickets to the top events in the city, you got to go with Game Time Tickets. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NHL and NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to puck drop or the opening tip-off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA and NHL tickets. Both the Bruins and Celtics could be playing deep into the spring calendar, and Game Time tickets will have the top seats available. You want to make the trek down to Causeway Street to cheer on the Bees and Celtics. Game Time Tickets app makes it easy to sort through which specific game, concert, or other event you want to attend and shows you the best spots available to take in the action. And with flash deals and zone deals available, you can make it to some of the most in-demand games at the last second. With these last-minute deals, you can save up to 60% off of buying seats at sporting events, concerts, comedy shows, theater shows, and so much more. Some of my favorite features of the app include seat views, where you can get a panoramic view of your seat in the app before you buy, and the lowest price guarantee, or else Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So what are you waiting for? Take the guesswork out of buying NBA, NHL, and other tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Now, let's get back to the show. Shout out once again to Game Time Tickets. All right, Ty, you kind of alluded to it, but you look at what's at stake, I think, in this Game 7, right? Because, listen, they lose. It'll be shitty. Won't be great. Losing and having another game end on home ice, even with maybe the lowered expectations we had going into the year. I feel like that all changes, goes out the window. It's like after, if they won in Game 5, took care of business against a depleted Toronto team, are they the favorites against Florida? No, of course not. But you look at how Swayman was playing, how guys were all pulling on the rope. Be like, this is going to be a fun series. We'll see what happens. You know, it's playoff hockey. See if they, you know, there's the revenge aspect to it. See what they can do. Now it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the apathy setting in. But it's like, all right, even if they get through, like, what can we actually expect out of this team in this core when second year in a row they just haven't been able to land a knockout punch? So when you look at what's at stake, yeah, if the Bruins lose, I do feel like Jim Montgomery's a guy that his job has to be in question. You would have to imagine that that seems like the domino that would fall. But you said it, like, what do you do with this core? Because, like, this team, like, it's set up with these guys signed long-term and with cap space that you can – you should be adding to this team. But is, like, the core not functioning the proper way? Is this, like, the team you should be investing in? Because I don't know. Like, I heard on the radio today people were mentioning, like, just blow it all up. So you can't do that. And no, listen, you don't want to be – yeah, and again, the Red Wings are a blue blood NHL franchise. They want to be good. Their fans want them to be good, and they've sucked for years and years despite their best effort. It's very tough to have all these things aligned. But if you do lose, like, what is at stake for the specifically these players and this core?
Yeah, I think you enter more and more into the hockey trade conversation, right? Like, I think we assume that Linus Ullmark is going to be traded in the offseason. All signs kind of point to it, especially if Jeremy Swayman win or lose post, you know, a 9:35 or whatever it is in the playoffs. Like, yeah, like, that's a guy that you keep around. And so we assume that he's gone, but now does that become part of a greater deal? Like, is it Ullmark packaged with somebody else who is under contract? Then you try to bring in a massive haul, you know, versus just saying, oh, we'll take a first round pick and a mid tier player. Right. Like, and so that discussion's there. It's really interesting, right? Because, like, you talk about Jim Montgomery, and I would agree with you. It's hard to imagine him surviving a second straight 3-1 series collapse, especially with, you know, his contract status. I believe it was a 3-year contract, so he's entering the final year of it. Do you want to commit to that guy, or do you want to make him a lame duck? Why don't you just get rid of him? Because you're not comfortable with either one of those pathways, and you just blew it again. Like, no coach has ever blown 2-3-1 series leads in back-to-back years. Dude, not even Doc Rivers did that, which is, like, crazy to think about. But anyway, that's a different sport, I know. But it's unprecedented, right? It's completely unknown. And so and at the same time, I think front offices will always fire coaches before they fire themselves, right? They're gonna buy themselves some more time. Does Bruins ownership allow Don Sweeney to fire a third coach? Like, that's a legit question. I, like, at a certain point, a lot of coaches, man, that's a lot of coaches you kind of gone through, and we're still kind of waiting for whatever. So it's hard to understand the pathways that they could have. They're aided by the fact they have a lot of money in this offseason. If the cap is $88 million, they have a lot of money to play with, especially if they trade Linus and his $5 million. Like, they can make a big move, but there's peril within that. Like, we were talking about Noah Hanifin 4 months ago. Well, not getting him now. Yeah. Like you can't just keep waiting for these guys to maybe hit the open market. And so it's just a weird spot for them, but they would be in line for a culture shakeup, you know, kind of like when they brought in David Backes after blowing it in game 82 and back-to-back years. They said, we need another voice in here. These voices aren't working right now. They bring in David Backes. It was good for a year and a half, I would say, and then it went to hell. But, like, do they go all in for Steven Stamkos, right? Like, is that something they do? Like, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do, but I think that it would be a legit culture reset. Like, you would try to bring in, you know, a guy who's going to rattle some cages. That's the biggest thing I remember about when they brought in David Backes, talking to people. It was, we want a guy who's going to rattle some cages. We want a guy who's going to kind of be in people's faces a little bit And they didn't mean the opposition. They meant internally, like, wake the hell up and play the game we got to play. Like, I just wonder if that kind of guy is out there for them to bring in. He's got to be a good player, though, too. So, yeah. A hard balance to find. Those guys don't really hit the open market all that much.
No, it's jarring to look at just how much this whole outlook of this team has changed in the last couple of days. Because, like, again, you go on to the next round, you win in five, or even if they take care of business in game six, we all kind of expected a letdown in game five. That's just what this team tends to do. You win in game six, you go to Florida, make it a competitive series. You go from there, go into this offseason, you still got guys like Pasta, McAvoy signed, a lot of money. You're going to be in the mix year in, year out. You got younger guys like Lauri and Potter develop. You're on the right path. This was a bridge year, and you aced it with flying colors in terms of having a competitive second-round series, right? I think we would all tend to agree with that in terms of just how this went. But if you blow a 3-1 lead again and you've reset these expectations, you're right. Like, it's not that staying the course just isn't going to work if this team is just internally broken. And it's not to say these guys aren't tight or the locker room's, you know, toxic. This isn't like the Winnipeg Jets we're talking about. But when you look at the results on the ice, you got to change something, right? Like, something has to change in that regard. And it's just, it's shocking that we've hit this point so quickly when I think we recorded last week when this team was on its way to a 5-6 game, you know, series victory, changed the entire complexion of this team. That now, even if they win, there's still probably people who are like, what do we got here? All right, like, we'll go play Panthers and maybe they'll win a game. It's like just the entire complexion of this season and the path of this team just seems like it's been sour off of just what we've seen on the last couple of games.
And now it comes down to 60 minutes. You know, it comes down to 60 minutes on Saturday night. Again, a game that you shouldn't be playing. And you brought up something that I agree with and that I want to be mindful of, right? Like, Don Sweeney did a great job of building a bridge roster. Now, when that bridge roster goes up 3-1 and then it starts to slip, I don't want to hear that it's a bridge year. You're up 3-1. Close it out. It shouldn't be hard to win one game before you lose three. This team did that all year long. They were able to do that. And so that's what I don't like. I don't like the goalpost moving of, like, when they go up 3-1 and it starts to slip, like, well, you know, it's a whatever year anyways. And it's like, no, that's not the point. The point is, like, you have a core here that needs to have a killer instinct to be the core moving forward. If you don't have that, I don't want that core. I want a different core. And so that's the part that I come back to. And that I don't really want to hear from people if they blow this series. Oh, well, the expectations were low. Yeah, and then they changed. And like, then they were up 3-1. The expectations changed when you go up 3-1. If you told me that they're going to lose a series to a full-stocked Toronto team in six games, I would have said, yeah, okay. I mean, I get it. But then if you told me that in August, right, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I get it, whatever. If you tell me that they're going to lose to Toronto in game seven last week, I'd say, I don't want that. No, I'm not going to accept that. So your opinion and your feelings on the ceiling and on the roster can change. And they have changed with this team. This team, in my opinion, is still good enough to hold on to a 3-1 series lead and finish the job. And if they don't, it's an ugly, ugly look for them. And so now we wait. Now our eyes turn to Saturday night at TD Garden. And the second round, who knows? If they win this, maybe they get a second wind and they knock out Florida. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. But, you know, the feeling I've had in my mind now since game six went final, even since game five, really, I've had this feeling of they're not going to do this again, are they? And I don't want to say that during the second intermission of game seven. Like, make this a no-doubter. We're going to the next round. Don't worry about Pastrnak. Don't worry about McAvoy. They're going to get their shit together. Those guys got to get it together. Because if they don't, again, those narratives we talk about, they now have actual life. And they have life beyond sports radio. They have life beyond fans online. Internally, they're going to be asking those questions. Do we have the right complexion to win a Stanley Cup with these guys?
Yep. Game seven awaits. Hold on to your butts, people. It's going to be awful. Win or lose, it's going to be an eventful night over on Causeway Street.
What's your game seven record since covering the team?
Oh, that's a good one.
You've experienced just misery.
Yeah, I was there, so I wasn't like full-time covering, but my first game seven was 18, and that game rocked.
That was a good game.
Krug tied it. DeBrusk got the two goals. Awesome game. Was there in 2019 when they won against the Maple Leafs, and then what? I'm trying to remember all of them now. St. Louis, we know how that ended.
2022.
Carolina, I was down there for that.
Yep.
And that game, again, like, tough break. Domi had those, had the goals there. But, like, that was at least a tighter game. They made a great push at the end. Like, that's just lose to a better team. If you played, like, the Florida, you play games like that and come up short, you'll take that.
I was not down in Carolina. I had COVID for that series. I missed the final three games of that series. I was in quarantine. I got COVID, I'm pretty sure, from Charlie McAvoy.
I flew in, like, the morning of. And that, like, flight was delayed. So I literally got, I think the time the game was, whatever it was less than 40 minutes for the drop. I had to, like, win my way, just fans, all Carolina fans, get into the building. Wasn't great. A lot worse. And then 2023, we all know that. And that was one, and you look at the way that it was going, because they were trying going into third, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one, wow, they're really going to do that, huh? This isn't easy. Because I thought they were going to, you know, as much the vibe built off after game six in Florida, it's like, this team's still too good. This is going to be one. Yeah. It's going to be like a 4-2, right?
Yeah.
But then found out right away, like, something's off, which I think we're going to find out pretty soon, I think, what exactly this team is made of when the puck drops in the first period. So we will see.
I'm trying to think my game seven record. As a fan in the stands, it was 0-2. I was there for Carolina in 2009, and I was there for Philly in 2010. As a reporter covering the team,
2011 helps out a little bit, huh?
2011 does help. I was not in Vancouver because I could not find a flight to Vancouver, and I was 19 years old, and I was like, I can't pay $800 for anything right now. I was a rookie reporter covering the team then. It's sub 500. I know that. I know that for sure.
That's Bruins.
I did the math real quick. I'm 5-4 actually in game sevens in real life. Two of those five are against, I'm 6-4. Three of them against Toronto, 13, 18, that and helps. 19. So, we'll see if they can do a three-peat or a four-peat, because my math is unconfirmed right now. We'll see if they can do a three-peat or a four-peat on Saturday night. We'll see.
So I think the important thing is that I at least have two Game 7 wins under my tenure here. I think the biggest key is we just can't have Evan Marinovsky in the building.
That clown. Get that clown out of here.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see if we can get security to escort him off the premises. But as we ready for Game 7, Ty.
I'm going to plant some fake drugs on him. That's a king of crank. Get him out of the building.
I think they already have security honed in on him anyway, so they already know his face. Ty, as we get ready for Game 7, where can we read your stuff? Where can we hear you? All that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can hear me on 95 Sports Hub. I'll probably be doing a hit tomorrow with the hockey show, but we'll see based on morning skates at the Garden, not Warrior, so it might be a little bit tougher to make that happen. Also, read me on 95sportshub.com. Dropped a column on Friday. Talking about the unknown of a game seven, basically everything we just talked about in written form, if you like that, and less time consuming, but not as entertaining, I will say. So that's where you can find me at Twitter, @X_TyAnderson, on Threads @_TyAnderson. I'm trying to use that one more because a lot of people are on there.
I keep
getting tweets, or they're not even tweets, they're threads, whatever they are, from people saying, hey, use Threads more. We're on Threads. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So, I try to be a people pleaser. I have a Facebook page, but I can't. I don't know how to use it. I mean, I do, but it's too
I don't
much
know how to
media.
Use Facebook either. There's too much stuff going on with Facebook. It's too cluttered. I'm in my old age, and I have like my little glasses down, trying to scroll through it. I feel like I'm out of my element now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So,
how about yourself?
Yes, you can read all of my stuff over at boston.com and the Boston Globe. I'll be with the Globe team and that awesome crew of writers for however long this playoff run goes, whether it's Saturday or into next week in Florida. So read all my stuff there. You can find me on Twitter @ConorRyan_93. and all that good stuff. So
I like the Globe crew. You guys make me feel like I'm like an unofficial member of the crew. It's like how Vince Staples was like an unofficial member of Odd Future. That's like very much exactly how I feel.
The Globe team is just like Odd Future. No, it is a fantastic team that I'm very thankful I get to work with every single day with the team they have over there. But yeah, so you can read all of my stuff over there for however long this run goes. So this was episode 226 of Poke the Bear. That is Ty Anderson. I'm Connor Ryan. You fans, enjoy Game 7. We will see you, good or bad, on the other side. Take care.